Welcome to the Flow State Podcast, where we're all about finding balance. We're your hosts, Monica Groney
and Nora Candido. Now let's get into the flow.
Hey guys, welcome back. Nora and I were just sitting here talking and we decided to just hit record. So we're just going for it.
Welcome to our coffee chat. Grab your mug.
Yeah. We were just talking about, well, we'll get into that a little bit later. Today is our Q&A episode. A lot of the questions are things we've talked about before, but we'll go through them again. We also thought that we'd do a fun, like, life update on ourselves and share a little bit about what's been going on in our lives, as well as just let you guys in a little bit.
This is our insider community.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you all here. We hope you've been enjoying this season. We've had some fun guests. Man, okay, this is season 4. Is that right?
Yeah.
We've had some cool guests over.
We've had some really cool guests. We have a really cool guest coming up this season too.
Yeah. And we have the most trusted dietitian in my book along our side, teaching us everything we need to know. So thank you, Nora.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I love doing this. Just we've talked about like part of my mission. I know the biggest part of Maria's mission is just to be able to reach as many people as possible. And I just am becoming increasingly more frustrated by social media and just like the volume of misinformation. Or even this week, I tried to establish care in a new location. Tried to an appointment with a primary care provider with a traditional doctor and huge hospital systems, like major. And the first place that I called, they said, our next appointment is January 2025. So literally 10 months from now. Like that is ridiculous. And then the next place said, we're not even accepting new patients and we don't, our wait list is full. Like if I needed something right now, my option would be to go to urgent care or go to the ER. And that's not the way that healthcare should be. Like you shouldn't have to go and pay an exorbitant amount of money to get appropriate care. Like it upsets me so much.
If you went to the ER, it would be astronomically priced.
I did last year when I had my miscarriage because I was not going to have my first OBGYN appointment until my 12th week, which seems late to me also, when my first ultrasound was 8 weeks.
Which we talked about in the episode with the thyroid episode.
Yeah, with McCall, yeah.
About like there could be such better options for people if we saw our doctor sooner in pregnancy.
Yes. I do that with my clients actually, like testing the progesterone because it is like the best marker and that's the primary cause of miscarriage is not having enough. That's our primary pregnancy hormone is progesterone. Like that's the most common reason why people don't get pregnant is because they're too stressed. They're not ovulating. If you don't ovulate well, the egg quality, you're not going to have a robust progesterone response. Like the first thing that we do is just throw medications and we don't tell people like, here are the lifestyle things that you need to be doing to support your body and giving your body not only a better and easier chance of getting pregnant, but sustaining the pregnancy. Like if we could avoid all of those things. But anyway, I had to go to the ER. I went to urgent care when I started bleeding and they were like, we don't have an ultrasound here. You have to go to the ER. And I didn't have established care yet because I wasn't supposed to see my OB until 12 weeks. Our bill was $7,000. And they said like, just look reading through our insurance coverage because it wasn't preventative, like it was diagnostic, even just the coding that they used. It wasn't covered under any sort of perinatal care. Like it's effed up all the way around. It's just very upsetting.
Hey there, Flow State Podcast listeners. It's your host, Monica. I wanted to interrupt this episode real quick to share with you a little bit about my brand, Maria. Maria is a nutritional company that helps support women who are dealing with symptoms of hormone imbalance. I don't know about you, but I struggled with awful periods for over 17 years. Head back to season 1, episode 5 to learn more about my story and struggles with PMDD. When I discovered the life-changing benefits of having a solid foundational multivitamin in my everyday routine, my life was changed forever. I had more energy, my moods were balanced,
I was able to resume life as usual, and feeling normal sometimes just feels so freaking good. That's why I teamed up with dietitians, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, and OBGYN to create the best possible foundational multivitamin for women who experience symptoms of hormone imbalance. I am so excited to share this with you. If you haven't checked it out yet, head to www.moreawellness.com. And of course, for all of our listeners, I have a special discount. You can use the code FLOWPOD, FLOWPOD at checkout to get a special discount. Okay, back to the episode. That's the crazy thing too, is that they could just code it slightly different.
Yeah. And we reached out to them to do that too after the fact. So we're like, what?
Oh my God, the medical system. But you, on the life update side, the reason you're looking for a new person is because you recently moved, right?
Yes. Yes. We moved back to Boston, which I'm so, so grateful for. This is like the area that feels the most like home outside of my childhood home where I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania. And I moved here for the first time in 2015 to do an internship at a rowing club, which was so awesome, with MIT's dietitian. And I was dating somebody who helped me get the internship and got me a job. And he broke up with me a week after I moved here. I got dumped. And it was the best thing that happened to me because I had to figure everything out. I wasn't even 21.
I was going to say, how old were you?
I was 20.
Just after college?
No, I was still in college. It was after my sophomore year of college. And it was the best thing because I had to figure things out here. I don't know. I like associate my independence and finding myself with being in Boston. And I don't know. It has so many great features.
That 20-year-old courage. I wish I could tap back into that.
I literally was talking about this with a client the other day. Like, it was going around recently, like sharing photos from her 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I could just borrow an ounce of 21-year-old Nora's confidence, like,
right? I've been feeling that a lot lately. I'm like, gosh, how did I move across the country when I was 22?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Not knowing anyone, not knowing where I was going to live, not knowing what job I was going to have. And I was like, now I'd be like, I have to have my ducks in a row. Like,
maybe you don't. Maybe this is your invitation.
Yeah. I'm trying to tap back into 22-year-old Monica because she was dope.
Yeah. Ooh, channel that. I love that.
Except for with my emotional intelligence today.
Okay. What does that look like for you? Like, when you say tap back into 21-year-old Monica, like, what does that mean?
I think just truly her courage of being like, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Like, we'll get there. We'll see what's up. I can always come back. Like, just leaving things up to the world's chance, I guess. And I think trusting a lot of it, right? Like, ignorance is bliss. But also, I think at that age, you're just, I'll figure it out. I'll find a job. I'll do the things. And I should have more trust in myself at this point because I've gotten this far and I've been okay. So I think just like that reminder that 22-year-old Monica has given me of, you got this. You'll figure it out. You've figured it out this far. You're doing great.
You are doing great.
Thanks. Yeah, I guess I'm going to share this.
Was just going to post to you, like, what's going on in your world?
Yeah, this hasn't been public knowledge yet. I feel like most of my close peeps know, but I'm currently going through a divorce. I maybe should have asked my significant other or my ex if I should be sharing this, but it's my story too, which has been like an emotional turmoil for me for the last like year and a half, 2 years. There's been a lot of relationship work happening in my life. Been a huge priority, but also just means like prioritization wise, a lot has been hard for me. I think Nora has experienced this firsthand and I apologize to her.
I love you anyway.
Thank you. But one of the things that I think is really interesting to share is that our body knows so much more than we give it credit for. And for me, this manifested as, one, like, my nervous system has just been an absolute wreck. And my periods have swung everywhere from like 23 days to 32 days. Like, month to month, it's a little bit, what am I going to get this month? So that's been really interesting. As well as, I have had a rash on my body. Nora and I worked together on this rash. I've had a rash on my body for 8 years. I've seen a lot of doctors to try to figure this out. And within a month of separating from my partner, it was gone. And I do contribute it to the stress of the relationship and my body just knowing, like having its own knowing of like something's not right for you. And I think I've even shared in the podcast, like we, a year ago, were like trying to conceive and like that didn't work out either. I mean, at this point, I'm grateful for that, but our body does know. And I think if we can like tap into its intuition and really listen and be aware of what's happening and ask yourself like, how is this manifesting in other ways? Is dis-ease in my body? Or that has been a wild experience for me to all of a sudden, I had an itchy butthole for 8 years. Like, I'm just telling you guys, I'm going to be so real. My butthole itched for 8 years and it's fine now.
The Nutrition with Nora Academy is here. An online platform built to empower you through education around your health from a trusted source, me, Nora, your registered dietitian. Come here to learn, seek community, accountability, and get your questions answered through workshops, events, and guest expert sessions. As a valued Flow State listener, you will receive a special discount. I'm overjoyed to have an accessible place for individuals to come, learn, and work with me. Come check it out.
I hope it feels like validation too of anytime I talk about symptoms with people or clients, it's like your body is literally trying to communicate something to you, exactly what you're saying. And to not show up with any sort of judgment or criticism towards those symptoms. Like just that, to me, that means you need to lean in, listen, like double the F down. Like what is your body trying to tell you? And it might not be anything that's surface level. Like I saw somebody else recently share that they had a rash on their face and this whole last year dedicated to working on like self-love. And that level of release is what allowed them to heal. And again, like whether you believe or if any of this sounds kind of like woo-woo to you, but I think it really is important to acknowledge this level. It's called interoception. And we're able to tap into our body's inner wisdom. Like it's always trying to communicate to us. So I think even you sharing that, maybe it's funny, but it's going to be so insightful for so many people to be like, what am I missing? Like, what can I be exploring and just approaching it from this non-judgmental, non-criticism lens and be like, how can I support your body? What are you trying to tell me?
One of the things too that I feel like has been a big transition for me is like going from living unconsciously, like very much just like the motions all of the time. And like I was very focused on societal's view of like what I should be doing in my life, right? Especially because I spent a lot of time in my 20s, I'll say it, like fucking off. You know, I was a ski bum. I was a professional athlete. I wasn't making a great income. Like I was just doing things that were bringing me a lot of joy, which is amazing. And I'm so grateful for that time. But then once I got into my late 20s, I was like, I got to get the job. I got to get the husband. I got to start doing the kids. Like the clock is ticking. And anyone out there listening who feels the clock pressure, I think like for me separating, okay, this pressure, like, yes, as females, we have some level of a biological clock that is real, but is it coming from my parents? Is it coming from society? Is it becoming from norms? And am I okay with where I am right now? And so I went from living very unconsciously, just based off of like these pressures that weren't really real, they were in my head, to now living a much more conscious life of all of the things that have happened previously. Like, I'm not going to regret my 11, 12 year old relationship that I just got out of because I've learned so much and I wouldn't be who I am today without those lessons that are now allowing me to make such beautiful decisions for myself and approach life in a way that is brave, courageous, like we were just talking about, you know, my younger self courage. I feel like I'm really stepping into that. And yeah, just letting that be my timeline and being so okay with like being here now. And enjoying what is in my life for me in these moments. And since making that unconscious to conscious transition, it's like things are now happening for me and I can see them and appreciate them. And instead of feeling shame or like, I should be doing this, shooting myself, I'm like, oh no, this is all for me. Like, how beautiful is this? What lesson is this thing trying to teach me that's hard? What, you know, so there's even the hard parts, I am pulling positive from them. And it's just like such a different light for me. So anyone going through relationship struggles, like there is light on the other side.
I also want to normalize that, like being in a committed relationship, when people are like, oh, marriage is hard, I was like, what does that even mean? Like,
it means it's hard.
What do you mean? And it is hard. Like, it does take work. And there's a lot, like, I did not understand what that means. And I still feel like I'm 3.5 years into marriage, like, still just figuring things out. And there are so many questions and conversations that we've talked about that we wish we had had before making this level of commitment. And to your point about like the societal pressures, I want to validate those because like they are very real. It's a choice we have whether we want to lean into it or not, but they're there. And like as soon as you start dating someone or you're together for a while, people say, when are you going to get engaged? And then you get engaged. And the very, very effing minute after you get engaged, people are like, and when are you going to get engaged? And so you're like, I don't know. I'm literally just going to like enjoy this stage in this moment. And then you get married and people ask, when are you going to start a family? And to me, it is just that people don't have better things to say or they don't know what else to ask you. And I'm not here for those surface level conversations. And you don't have to be either. It can be a huge boundary for you to just be like, oh, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Like, choose the response that you want to have. But it doesn't have to be somebody else's story. Like,
maybe if you want to celebrate someone and you're excited for them and like you're feeling that like, oh, I'm going to ask them like when they're going to get married, like ask them like, how does it feel instead? Like, how are you feeling? Ask them like for their emotion in the moment and help them stay there themselves.
Yeah. Like, how cool would that be?
Like, that's a much more meaningful question. And God, it's even on the other side of,
I was going to say, what are people saying when you share
the relationship? It's like people are like, when are you going to start dating? Like, oh, when is the divorce going to be official? When, like,
the balls,
yeah,
to say that, the audacity.
I also think it's been interesting, too, the amount of people that are saying, like, oh, I'm really sorry, which, I mean, I get it. People are being empathetic, but I'm like, no, I think, like, and this is my experience with my divorce of we tried really hard to make our relationship work. And while there's sadness for sure, it's also, like, a lot of courage and excitement for being able to make the decision that like this wasn't the exact right thing. So I don't know. I feel like there's like a level of like congrats for doing this for yourself.
I mean, I love this. Like, I think that is so important for other people to hear and to just like trust.
Trust is my word for the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I just spotted that.
Yeah. There's a lot of trust happening and making a decision and choosing yourself, even though I fully believe in committing to a relationship and being committed. But I think choosing yourself when something isn't working and you can genuinely say, like, I've tried everything I can, build so much self-trust because I just chose to like make myself as happy as I can and made a really hard decision in that process, right? There's so much unfolding in the background of like, where am I going to live? Where, like, all these questions that I didn't know. And I trusted myself that I was going to go and figure that out and that I could be my support system for myself.
It's really powerful.
If anyone's listening and like struggling through something similar, I'm here for you. I'm so here for you. And your process will be so different than mine. I had to go through such a process to get to a decision. It literally took years. And if I look back at like journal entries, it's like wild, my knowing that was underlying, but the unraveling process was long and I needed to really make sure that that was my decision. So here we are.
Thanks for sharing that. And I think that'll be really affirming for people. And obviously like not sharing it for any sort of response or any of the things that we've talked about.
Everyone here who listens, like, I feel like it's like a little community, family, like, I don't know. And these types of emotional elements in our lives, like, play such a huge role in our health, like I talked about. And that's what's going on for me. Anything else on your end, like how you're training for a bike race, right?
Yeah, so this is the third time that I'll be participating in the Panmass Challenge, which is a bike ride from Boston to the end of Cape Cod in P-Town. It's in August, so my route is like close to 200 miles over 2 days. I'll be fundraising too, so I'm working on setting up a fundraiser. It's good. It's nice to have something to look forward to and work towards. The half marathon for me in the fall was such on a whim, but I really like riding my bike and it feels better on my body than running typically does. So I'm excited about that. And you do too.
Yeah. I'm running the New York City Half in March and I'll be running a 50 miler this fall. So lots of running in my future. Yeah, but still like endurance sport.
Yeah.
But I love it. It gets me outside, which I'm just so grateful for those long days in the mountains, which is amazing. Otherwise, you feeling good? Body feels good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling strong. Like,
same.
I'm pretty yoked. It feels good. I do have like a little bit lower back pain from actually stretching, which is hysterical.
Deadlifts? Oh.
Yeah. I did this back in August, like doing a supine twist and like felt everything crack in my body and then did deadlifts that day. And I think it was just the combination of like things were in a new position and then I was putting a ton of tension on it. And it actually felt better when I was running. And now since I've been more committed to lifting again since December, it's pretty flared up at the moment. So I'm on the fence between like, should I take more time off or I don't really want it to turn into something worse than it is right now.
Are you still doing the ladder program?
Oh, yeah. I'm in there, baby.
I've been in love with this, like, session, this 6 week.
Yeah, the series.
Yeah, it's been so good. And I think I've been more consistent than I've ever have been. I think with a big emotional release, I have, like, more energy to put into that. And, man, the results, it's wild. Shout out to Lauren Kansky.
Yes, we love you, our trainer. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so, so grateful that you shared that program with me a year ago. And I definitely, like, I love the layout of the app. That's actually, like, kind of how I wanted to simulate a similar experience within my own platform right now. So
a cool inspiration.
Yeah, like, I talked a little bit. I have my Nutrition with Nora Academy that I launched this year that is like community and education platform. But I opened it up with an 8 week series, which is kind of similar to what the Ladder app does, where there's just like only certain content available at this time. And that's intentional because this is the foundational work. Like, you can't just go and cherry pick certain content and just like try something for a little bit or slap a supplement or do this thing for a week and expect results if you don't nail this foundational work first. So I'm kind of gently encouraging or forcing people to go through this 8 week component first, and then they will get access to all of the information around cycle health, around digestive health, around perimenopause, menopause, so many different topics that I'm covering in here. And I love, I'm like so lit up by creating content. I've completely wound down how many clients I'm seeing individually. And I am no longer doing my group program Harmonize. And it has just freed up so much energy and creative energy to build something new that I'm really passionate about. And this allows me to reach so many more people. And it's super affordable. So
what is the community called?
The Nutrition with Nora Academy. So it is like really strongly based around education and learning. That's one of my pillars, is just being empowered by information, but also the community aspect. I really wanted a place where people could come together and support each other because I don't have children. I'm not in perimenopause. I'm not in menopause. So to be with a group of other like-minded individuals who are new moms or whatever the case might be, or you're going through acne or GI issues right now, having a little pod of people that have similar experiences.
Yeah.
is so helpful and it's a source of accountability. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. How can people, is it like rolling enrollment? People can come in anytime.
Yes.
Very cool.
And like my active clients get a discount. So if you've worked with me before, just send me a message. But for new individuals joining, it's $49 a month. So like so affordable.
That is so accessible. Amazing. And like, I know this probably isn't ideal for you, but if someone wanted to come in for like a month, 2 months, like is that?
Yeah, it's totally fine with me. Like, I want this to be the most flexible and supportive thing. You know, the people that do complete that series and then are able to go in and find supportive information that's for them, like you're going to get the most out of it. So I recommend doing it for at least 3 to 4 months. And my active clients do get free access as well. So yeah, I want it to be flexible.
And so everyone goes through the first like 8-week series, basically to get access to the rest of the library.
Correct.
Is it released like weekly or is it like all released and they just can like go through it at their own pace?
So right now it's being released weekly because I'm doing it live with them. Yeah, I'm still deciding, like, because there are people who maybe you've heard this information before or you just need a gentle reminder and maybe you can kind of skip forward a little bit. But even if you know this information, there's a difference between knowing and doing.
Yes.
Like, we have access to so many tools, but unless you're actually doing the thing.
Amazing. Okay, well, everyone go and check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes to Nora's new academy.
Yay! And wait, I do have 2 new dietitians who are supporting me. So if you are still looking for one-on-one support, I have a team now that can help and support you. So we still offer that. And I think it's important to get individualized support. I'm just focusing my energy on the community and the education creation right now.
I love that. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's do these questions.
Yeah, let's dive into the questions. Okay, one of the things I feel like just a lot of people in my life lately have been experiencing then, but is period flu. And I've also seen on the Maria website, Nora, I was telling Nora this, but we have an article that's about like how the flu can affect your period and it's getting a lot of traffic. But period flu is different than the normal flu. And maybe someone listening, you've experienced this. It's like right before your period or when you get your period, you like actually feel like you have the flu. You're like sick in bed, which is a real thing.
Yep, exactly. So it can really happen anytime after ovulation. So anytime in the luteal phase, and it is due to the significant fluctuation of our hormones, of course. So in the first half of the cycle, estrogen is the primary hormone, whereas in the second half of the cycle, both estrogen and progesterone are present. And our immune capacity, our immune system, lowers in the second half of the cycle. And this is actually intentional because, again, the whole reason that we get a period is to potentially conceive, become pregnant. And if you were growing a new human in your body, you don't want your internal immune system attacking those new cells being created, saying like, this is foreign, we want to get rid of it. So the body actually intentionally lowers its immune response. So you are more likely to get sick. And then in the week or so leading up to your cycle, for a lot of people, this can just be kind of like the way your body experiences PMS, but you might feel really run down. You might feel like you're kind of getting sick with something, and it can, I don't want to say just be, but it can be those symptoms leading up to your bleed.
That's really interesting. I didn't realize the immune part of not attacking new cells. Super cool and makes sense.
Yeah. But how I'll speak to just like real quick, if you get sick or you have the flu or another virus or any sort of infection, it's an immune response, and an immune response creates inflammation inherently in your body. That's how our body fights off any sort of invader or, right? So it's creating this really big immune response, which is inflammatory. So your cycle could be different after being sick or even for a couple of months after because your body has had that increased immune response. So that's how the flu or other illnesses can potentially show up as cycle changes too.
I feel like a lot of people were talking about this during the
panini.
Yeah.
I feel like things still get censored, but
yeah, a lot of people were talking about that. Like, oh, I had the vid and now my period's super whack. Or like even the
vaccine.
Thank you. Like the shot, the thing in your arm.
The pokey.
Yeah, because it was like putting those antibodies in your body. So
exactly. And all that's doing is creating an immune response so that if you do get exposed to the virus in the future, your body's like, hey, I recognize this. I know what to do here. Exactly. It's built in. It's ready to fight.
Someone is experiencing like period flu. Is there like, what if it's consistent? Like, is there something like they could do to maybe prevent it?
So I would kind of group this into a PMS category. Like, what are the things that we want to do to just support your system during this time? And you might need more rest. You might need to lean into a little bit of a different change of your routine to support your body. You might need more sleep. Your sleep quality changes in your luteal phase as well. So I think that's a really important piece. But just, you know, hydration, obviously, like zinc, turmeric, ginger, any of those anti-inflammatory things. We've talked about food sources in the week leading up to your cycle as well that can be really helpful, coming from anti-inflammatory omega-3 fatty acids, whether that is from salmon or mackerel or sardines, anchovies, or plant-based options like chia seeds, walnuts, ground flaxseed. All of those things are natural anti-inflammatories that can help to support any of those symptoms, just kind of from the inside out.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that.
This kind of leads into the next question, which we have talked about before, but just natural menstrual relief. And something that I really wanted to call out that we haven't talked about before on here is anti-inflammatory medications, NSAIDs, so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents. So those are ibuprofen, like anything that says, a lot of them will say NSAID. There are different types. These, of course, I don't love. Being a GI dietitian, being a hormone dietitian, and the reason why is that when you take those medications, they actually eat away at your stomach lining. So they can predispose us to H. pylori or ulcers, other sorts of infections, because they're lowering the levels of acid in the stomach and kind of eating away at the lining of your stomach. So this is something also we've talked about, other medications depleting a lot of nutrients. This is something that your liver then has to go and metabolize that uses a lot of nutrient status, which we're already depleted of. So it's just like an additional thing that the more we can not rely on them, the better. But nothing is going to have the same like in the moment action the way that those class of medications that I've seen currently does. Like, I have not seen a more natural, like, this is going to work within the next 20 minutes. It just has a very different mechanism of action.
In terms of menstrual symptom relief, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Or, I mean, truly any sort of pain relief, right? Like, if you injure your back or if you bump your head, whatever.
Yeah, they're popular for a reason. Like, they work.
They work. But I really want people to move away from relying on them and kind of abusing them. So if you're really only using it like once a month, or if you get an occasional headache or something where like it's a quality of life thing, like you need something that's going to help you, I'm really grateful for those tools. But just knowing like the overall effects that they can have long term, or even be promoting other GI issues. Of course, I'm sensitive to that topic for my population. I want to work towards not being reliant on them.
Totally. And at the onset of symptoms, there are some other things that you can do. I mean, these are things that you probably do, I probably do, because we both have that mindset of like, oh, I'm not going to rely on ibuprofen all the time. I am sitting on my heating pad right now, which like I just do it in the winter, but I love my heating pad. It's really comfortable, comforting. And so if I have a little like back cramp, that feels good to me.
Yeah. Other things I like too, like if I feel a headache coming on, I actually lean on Mireia for it because of the magnesium. I find that it's really, really helpful, and similar with cramps. So if there's any opportunity where like you're beginning to feel something, that magnesium is going to be super helpful for relaxing your muscles, any sort of tension relief. That can be a great tool to just keep handy. I also like Epsom salt baths a lot, which is also magnesium. It's magnesium sulfate, and it does have a mild laxative effect in case people didn't know. So just being mindful, like it helps with muscle soreness and tenderness, but it can also cause you to go to the bathroom. So if you're doing it all the time and you're pooping your brains out, that's why.
I will say too, for people who get headaches, I am a migraine girly, and the things that have been really helpful for me are soaking my feet in Epsom salt. If I don't have, or like my whole body, but if I don't have access to that, I'll even just do a magnesium spray on my feet and put socks on, as well as peppermint tea. And then I was telling Nora before we started recording, like a good orgasm will do wonders for a headache. So whether that is with a partner or by yourself, I love that solution.
Dopamine is pretty magical. That's one of the neurotransmitters that's released when you orgasm. That's why you feel good. So yes, this has like a total body use systemic release that can be really helpful for any sort of pain relief.
Yeah. Okay, let's cruise through these next ones.
Yeah. The last thing I was just going to say is like period cramps are a culmination of your lifestyle habits over the last month to 3 months. So if your body is sending you signals, again, at that moment for the instantaneous relief is one thing, but you need to go deeper and you need to understand like what habits am I doing that are actually leading to this happening. So go back and listen to episode 1 of season 4, what's wreaking havoc on your hormones. And those are the things that you really need to dial into to prevent this from happening in the future.
For me, it's also like when I'm experiencing heightened period symptoms, more cramps, even like PMDD, big trigger, I will sit down in my journal and be like, what have I done in the last 3 months that hasn't been supportive? What have I done that has been supportive? And kind of just even reflect on, oh, I was traveling a lot. Oh, I was drinking more. Oh, like these things. And that in itself, I think just the knowing, like you will know what you've done to support yourself or what you've done to maybe like not support yourself as much. And you can move forward in direction that is very informed by yourself. You don't even need anyone else to like help you.
Tracking is a really beautiful thing to be able to see any sort of patterns too. So like if you start just collecting data now, whether it's your sleep, your stress, your nutrition, your alcohol, your exercise, thing, if you get sick, stress is a huge one. Being armed with that information, like you can be your own detective. Reflect back on those things over the last 3 months.
Asking yourself, what do I need? It's like you've got a lot of answers inside you.
Okay. How do you know if you need a probiotic? I am actually in the camp that not everyone needs a probiotic. This is something that is extremely individualized and personal. I actually see a lot of folks taking the Seed Symbiotic right now, which is both a probiotic and a prebiotic, and they have a lot of GI issues. So there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. And this is something where we work together to find if you actually truly need one and then what kind. There are so many different types, way different qualities. Like this is not just a let me try this and see if it works kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the gut episode. So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. But we go into probiotics a little bit there too.
Yeah. Headaches around ovulation. So again, we want to really understand like what's the root? Like why is this happening? We've talked previously about what happens around ovulation, right? It is a peak of estrogen, primarily testosterone. So if you're seeing it specifically around that time of the month, I want to dig into estrogen, most likely. How can we support your body during this time? We actually talked a little bit about this in the last Q&A episode with acne increases around ovulation. So go back and listen because it's kind of some of the similar stuff where we really need to be supporting your body's systems and detoxification pathways. So if you're not going to the bathroom, again, it's not just like ovulation, it's all month long.
Yeah. Pooping, liver function, sweating, all of the detox.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Real quick, want to run through, we had some questions around functional lab testing, which we've definitely talked about before, but I think it's an interesting question around, especially people are like, I want to get lab testing done. Should I do it with my primary care doctor? Or are they just going to give me that like, oh, everything looks normal?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to put a link into the show notes for a freebie that I'm creating on what labs you should have drawn, because I think this is really important information and knowing like when to get them tested, where you can go. Even recently, I had a client that I recommended these labs. I told her they should be around $200 total. She got them drawn from her functional provider, and it ended up costing $1,000, and she was really, really upset. And it's like, we need to understand that like that is not how much they should cost, one. So if you are able to even check with your provider, make sure you know beforehand. And again, this is something that I can also support you with. So be sure to click the link in the show notes and we'll send you that whole list so that you can be informed and know what you should be doing. What's the right course of action?
Yeah, that's going to be so helpful for people. I feel like this is just a question that gets thrown out there all the time. So having that freebie will be awesome. Thank you for creating it, Nora.
Yeah.
Okay. And last question, we had a few questions around perimenopause, alleviating symptoms. They're having really heavy periods. We do have a whole episode on this with Esther Blum, who's also a dietitian. And that episode's really good and fun. So definitely go check that out.
I highly recommend that. And I think just for folks knowing like, how can I avoid these symptoms was the question. Just knowing what's actually happening during this time. Why is this all of a sudden? Maybe you have not experienced any sort of PMS before, and all of a sudden going through perimenopause, your body is changing and your cycle is changing. It might be longer cycles. It could be shorter cycles. They could be heavier. They could be lighter. It's mostly because the levels of estrogen are fluctuating dramatically during this time, and your body is going through another transition. It is like reverse puberty. So the way that we really want to approach this is, how can we support that transition more gracefully? Yeah, we talked about it in that episode, but also I did want to talk about this with the functional testing as well, and that the Dutch test is a hormone urine test that is most commonly used in this population. And I think it's really helpful information, but even when we do blood labs or even during this urine test, it is looking at one data point, one standpoint in time. It's not able to show us like a cumulative effect of the changes throughout the course of our cycle. There actually is a different test within the Dutch profile that you can do. It's called cycle mapping, and you're actually looking at those changes every day. So if you're trying to get a better understanding to the point where like during perimenopause, one cycle could be 12 days, the next cycle could be 42 days. So like even doing that 1 month test is not going to give us all of the answers. So I don't really utilize that test that often, to be honest, because I don't think it's as helpful. Where again, I really want to support those changes and like, how can we support the body through that process otherwise?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's helpful. And yeah, anyone who wants more, go listen to the other episode because it's a whole hour on this. So
yeah, exactly. There's a lot about like hormone replacement. So if you've had questions about this or like, should I be taking estrogen during this time? This is a really great place to start.
For sure. Okay, guys, we just breezed through a lot of questions and we shared a lot of our personal things going on. So this was fun. Come and say hi over on social media if you have any follow-up questions or follow-up thoughts on our life updates. But
or just come say hi.
Yeah, just come say hi. Screw it. Okay, cool. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next time. As always, feel free to drop us questions, rate and review the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
The information in today's episode is not to be used as medical advice. If you are currently struggling with or dealing with something out of the ordinary, we highly recommend talking directly to your provider.